Pickaxe.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome back to the Review of Death, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I am Matthew Toffolo. I am joined as ever by Billy Garrett John, and this week we are also joined by my big brother Jonathan Toffolo, aka Hanky Wrangler, Seventh Doctor fan extraordinaire. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
We're here to discuss the power of the Doctor, not only Jodie Whittaker's final story, but the centenary special of Doctor Who. Kind of like the 60th anniversary, but not.
Minus one,
yeah. Mm. And yeah, well, let's just
Should we go straight into it, really.
What did we all think? I mean, well, I know what we think. Yeah.
Can I go down the line? Because you guys have obviously kind of heard what each other would have to say.
Okay.
Am I all right to start with you, Johnny?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what you thought?
To quote Tom Baker, what's wrong with this whippet shit?
Okay, excellent. Matt, along the same lines?
I haven't got anything amusing to say about that. It felt like a childhood eaten a load of sweets, had been sick onto the camera, and then if you sort of sifted through the sugary sweetness of fancy colours and special effects, there were a few nice little bits and pieces in there. But not much underneath it all.
No,
yeah,
okay.
Very little substance. Mm.
A story of two halves, I would say. The first half being pretty...
Sorry, there was a story.
Yeah,
there was a story.
What was the plot?
Well, that's the problem. Everything to do with the kind of individual story that they were telling.
Yeah.
Kind of fell apart for me.
Yeah.
But like the last half an hour, I thought was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were we watching the same program?
Yes.
I can't really remember what happened in the last half an hour.
I don't know how we're going to get crack this nut, really.
Well, I was thinking about this, and I was like, well, if we go through it as it happens,
beat by beat, chronologically,
I feel like it's going to be so front-loaded with this was shit, this doesn't make sense.
That's the problem.
So maybe we should, for the sake of people's sanity at home, maybe we should talk about what we enjoyed about it first.
That I actually split my notes into pros and cons.
Okay.
So should we clap
let's
into
go.
That?
Let's, so let's. What was good about the power of the Doctor?
I think it does kind of go a bit chronologically. I thought that the space train setup,
I quite
liked
that.
The effects,
yeah.
I thought this looked really good.
Yeah.
I thought that they had a really really great team. Who was it? Double Negative. Is that what they're called? They did all like Blade Runner movie 2084 whatever it was called.
Double the amount of money.
Exactly. But I thought, you know, considering the fact that Legend of the Sea Devils looked cheap and the editing didn't help the overall effect of it.
Yes.
I thought that this was a big jump up.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the way it ran, in terms of the way it looked. And then the cons. I
agree. I liked that opening sequence on the train. I thought it was...
I didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
I thought it was sort of Bond-esque, you know. It felt like the opening to a Bond movie, you know. This is our little prelude into what will become the wider adventure.
And
I thought the Cybermen were shit, though. Why do they keep dying?
I know.
They came in.
It was like, it was appalling.
I was thinking when they were on the floor, I thought, no one's learnt their lesson about the Cybermen.
No.
And then at least they do the regeneration thing, and you think, oh, okay, well, that's different, and they're the Cybermasters. And I thought that they looked cool as a one-off.
They look better in this one, certainly, than they did in
that one with the time.
Because they've updated the masks a bit, so they haven't got the faces don't look as derpy and weird.
And I love the Time Lord texturing.
Yeah, it was quite cool actually, even on the basic ones.
Yeah,
and because they weren't. Some of them were like silver Cybermen. The ones that attacked UNIT were silver Cybermen.
They were just normal.
Ordinary ones.
And then the ones on the planet and on the train were like
these
grey ones with the Time Lord glyphs or whatever.
The only problem I had with them was that, and it's something that I wasn't massively fond of necessarily with the Cybermen, but there was no way of, I mean, obviously they centered on the Cyberman that was talking at the time, but I feel like they needed a bulb in the mouth just so you could get that coming across, because
the dialogue is very hard to hear. You're just staring at
a mask, and there's nothing moving on it, and that can be very threatening.
Yeah.
But when it's just reaming off dialogue, we are your Cybermasters. There's nothing to connect with. So I think it needed the blue light behind the mouth slit or something just to kind of make it pop a bit more on camera. Mm. I have to say as well. So I guess we're kind of doing it chronologically. I thought Dan's exit was kind of as well handled as it could have been. Because he was an ingredient in this story that would have just added to the clusterfuck.
Oh my God,
you know what I mean?
I said partway through, I was like,
Thank God he isn't in this, you know?
Because it would have just, like I said, been another person.
Yeah, and so if they had to get rid of him, one and done.
Yeah.
And I thought the way it was, you know, quite subtle, you know, he gets the thing, the hole in his mask, and he looks at the helmet and thinks, all right, this is too heavy now. You know, I almost died. You know, he was in peril in flux.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, it all kind of kicked off in the train sequence. And I thought, if you have to get rid of him, you know, do it quickly and then we can move on with the story.
Yeah. It was quite funny, actually, because then when he turns up later on, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that you were even in this story.
Yeah.
You were in it so fleetingly. Mm. It's quite funny, all of the... I think we kind of guessed that he wasn't going to be in it much from the press stuff.
Because true.
He was sort of like, oh yeah, I deal with the Cybermen at the start.
The illusion, and we were sort of talking about it as well, I think we kind of mentioned, is he going to die?
Yeah.
And I think that they kind of teased that inevitability quite well. Like there were a couple of instances when he jumped off the ladder and when he was being shot at where he could have easily died.
Wouldn't have been better if he'd been killed.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, let's just, you know, nip it in the bud, get him out of the way. Let's kind of move on with the rest of the story. And I thought that was fine. I liked the good Daleks' reasoning for turning on the Daleks.
It was about the preservation of the Carleds, and
now it's about the Daleks, and that's not right. I think, bloody hell, it's taken you this long to bloody cotton on to that? But I thought if you have to have a reasoning... The problem with the whole thing, for me, was it was contrivance upon contrivance upon contrivance. And when they all build up, and you've got loads of plates spinning, and you're in St. Petersburg in 1916.
I was just going to say, there are too many locations, there are too many places in this story. It's, like you said, it's just this hodgepodge, isn't it?
And
you think, what actually is going on? You know, just tell the story.
Nothing felt tethered down.
You're on a train, you're on a Cyberman planet, you're in Bolivia, you're in Naples, you're in London.
A Cyberman planet in two different time periods.
You're in Russia.
Indonesia at the end, when they flash to all the different volcanoes.
Oh, really? Oh, bloody hell. Well, that's eight locations already.
Exactly.
It was crazy.
And I think that was the problem with it. And it's been a problem with Chris Chibnall's writing. Is that he has too many ideas and nothing, you know, it's like he's got one pot boiling of a really good idea here, but then he's got to work on another ingredient and he forgets that.
Yeah.
And it's just the whole thing just kind of falls apart. Mm. Like, for example, and I think that he was the best thing in it, Sacha Dhawan as the master. I thought he was brilliant.
What, in that story?
Yeah.
You thought he was brilliant?
I thought he was great. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I loved him. I thought he was fantastic.
He's terrible. He's like the Joker, but just awful.
Would you rather John Sim over Sacha Dhawan?
John Sim in his latter one, I thought, played it much more subtly. You know, I liked him like that, not in the early stuff. I don't know.
I've never been a fan of like the megalomaniac cracked sort of master thing. But
and he had some terrible lines. That line to Kate Stewart, like, "Oh, I hated your dad. Your dad was an idiot." That was such an unmastery thing to say. No, Billy, it's appalling. Roger Delgado would not have said that.
I can't tell if it's the purple lighting or you are getting redder.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. It's so out of character. I didn't like that. I thought that was poor.
I said, what did I say last night? What he should have said? Oh, no, he should have turned... I thought he should have turned around to Kate and said, oh, you're not half the man your dad was.
Yeah,
that would have been more of a low blow.
Because that would have been true.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean... They don't have much luck getting cyber converted, the Lethbridge Stewarts, do they?
No.
I mean, her dad went the same way.
Yeah.
Mm. And I thought,
well, if you believe that shit, but I don't.
Well, exactly. Yeah. God, let's not even get into that. I'd rather retcon that than the bloody timeless child, if I'm honest. Oh, let's talk about that, actually. So the cargo on the ship,
The
train.
Yeah.
So it opens and it's a little girl. And you go, and I saw it. I went, no, we're not doing this again. Or, okay, if we're going to do this, this has got to be the resolution to it. But it's not. It's nothing. That spindly it's that octopus weird thing.
Yeah.
It was like, you know.
And it was weird because...
And she looked really fed up as well. When you see
a
heart...
That kid when she's...
Face.
They have tethered that child to the cyber planet.
In real life. Yeah. Like, she's just struggling on a green screen.
Let me down, please.
Please.
And it did make me think, it was like,
It didn't need to be a kid.
They could have just opened it up and it could have been an octopusy squiggly
thing. Whatever it was, yeah.
And you could have gone,
whoa, what is that? At least that's like a, ooh, question mark.
I did... put down what it was called. It was called a...
Yeah, I forget.
Quincy Jones. It's called a Quarrant.
Quarrant. And to think as well, it's like, I know the Master's responsible and we'll get into the what killed Jodie in the end, but for that to be the thing that killed her?
I know. Yeah. It
felt like an afterthought.
It was
like, oh shit, we haven't killed
her off. Cut her off. What should we do? Oh no, oh quick.
It's like, is this tissue, is this TCE?
Yeah.
What did it do? What did it do to the thing to make it
flat? It flipped it around.
It's so weird.
But what, like, so his TC is like the Sonic, it just kind of does
whatever. It seems like it, because it seems to be doing it, because didn't he use it to activate...
That thing, when they went into disco mode.
Oh, when they went Barra Rasputin.
Crazy, that bit. I turned to Matt and said, what's happening?
You were turning to the Cyberman.
Yeah, what is this?
Would you take that over the Scissor Sisters in the Series 3 finale?
No, the Scissor Sisters is much better.
It's subtler, isn't it?
It's not disco-like. Yeah. I don't remember.
Remember the Doctor when he's an old man in the wheelchair and he's spinning him around?
I can't decide whether you should.
I don't remember.
I'd sooner have that.
Okay.
It felt less incongruous.
Was the Rasputin thing just to do that?
I think so.
Because what was the painting thing about?
That was insane. Those paintings.
What was the seismologist thing about?
Incredulity, just looking at those paintings. It was so bad.
It was like the worst of the Moffat, we have to kind of just do something that's a bit, that there's a hook.
Yeah.
Mm. To contrive the Doctor to be interested enough to follow this thread that she then eventually meets the Master.
Yeah.
Why don't they just do away with that?
Yeah.
And focus on the person who I think who was really poorly served in this story. And it's the person who regenerated at the end.
Yes, she had so little
she
to
did.
Do.
Was
yeah.
this a centenary? Did Chris write this and go, this is for the centenary special or for Jodie, who is your leading actor, who is leaving at the end of the story?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll get into all that, but...
I mean, yeah, the Rasputin thing, I just don't get it. What was the point? Why was he Rasputin?
I don't know.
And was he always Rasputin? Is Rasputin the master? Did he just take his place?
I would assume so.
No? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think Chris Chibnall
knew. If you know, please write in on a postcard or whatever, an envelope to P.O. Box. I know that's...
Don't dox us.
Everyone knows where the Yorkshire are based, so it's fine.
And that's another Rasputin thing, talking about leaving kind of interesting ideas and then just dispensing with them. So I mentioned to you, I thought... The Doctor's going to die because of something to do with the Master's hypnosis.
Right.
Because I thought he's going to have some sort of control over Yaz or something.
Yes, yeah.
And that will do her in. That's what I thought. They signpost the fact that the Master can hypnotise people.
Yeah.
And it's made more obvious in this story than it ever has been in any other new series story.
Yeah, yeah. Very much
so, he does it twice
in
his opening scene.
Yeah.
He then has that conversation later with Yaz and the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You think, this is the perfect time to do the gimmick you've just set
up.
But it's just totally forgotten about.
Mm.
And it's a first draft where he's gone, here are loads of ideas I'll come back to and I'll flesh out when I do later versions of it.
Yeah.
But they were just left in.
Yeah.
And nothing was sort of substantiated or built upon.
No.
And it's, which is annoying because I thought there were flourishes of like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, well, that might work.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't sort of come together at the end.
It just gets muddled down because then you have the Dalek thing and you think, well,
yeah.
Why are they really even in this?
Yes, they
What's
seem,
the point? You know, they seem sort of superfluous. I don't really get the whole volcano thing.
No.
So they want to all the volcanoes are going to erupt and then just destroy the Earth.
They'll turn the Earth into a Dalek foundry,
Why use the Daleks? You've already got all those Cybermen.
Yeah.
Why get them to do it?
Yeah. Or why doesn't the Master just do it?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Master just let a bunch of volcanoes off? He's the ultimate villain. He could live in a hollowed-out volcano.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah,
or was
yeah.
it so that they could get her inside that Dalek and then zap her to that?
Why was she in a Dalek casing?
I know, it was a bit weird. It was
what
odd.
Was that about?
Oh, there was one good Dalek voice.
There was
one good Dalek voice. So well done.
Which one? That
yeah,
was.
I want, yeah. The second time round I watched it, I was like, I just want to check he did that register.
Yeah,
he did.
It was good. I like that.
Dalek voices were very good in this story.
Yeah.
That's the one out of ten that you give.
That's on the poster. Good Dalek voices. Well done, Nick.
Well done, Nick. You've earned your money.
And the Cybermen were quite good. The Cybermen actually had a bit more...
I thought they had a bit more personality in their voice. They weren't all stomping.
And I think it needed it, because the Cybermen had quite a bit of dialogue. Speaking of Cybermen, Ashard, why was he back?
Yeah, that was weird.
And why... And so
I'm so glad I cloned you.
Cloned you, yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah,
why? Exactly. Why did you say that? Why can't it be Ashard?
I know.
Because they don't like each other. And in DWM... Patrick O'Kane, who plays Ashard, said it was great to be back on the set with Sacha Dhawan because they're villains, they're arch nemesis, and they were sparking off each other. Now, I don't know if that was cut from the final episode.
Yeah, exactly,
but then it also made me think, are you just saying stuff in these DWM previews that's not true to misdirect people?
Oh,
in
yes.
which case... That's not an interview.
No, it's not.
You've
no.
wasted my time and this lie. Paper printing
As the
all
Cyberman
this stuff.
Says, that was designated a lie.
Yeah,
there was an interesting... Oh, yeah. He says of Ashard, I killed him once, but he's forgiven me now.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the...
And then, I'm so glad I cloned you when he got broken out. It's
like, that was it. And then he was just... I was just like, well, why... Why isn't this just a cyber leader doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it him?
We've got a cyber leader.
Yeah.
We've got a cyber master cyber leader.
I mean, it was clearly just a thing like, oh, well, we'll just bring
him back.
Because he was... People liked him. Yeah. It was a last story.
And what? The best bit of the Cybermen in this was when he went on that one-man army.
Oh, yeah, he killed
him. Yeah, that was good.
And it made me think, just have him... versus the whole of unit. Lock the whole of unit down.
Yeah.
And it's just him going floor to floor, up, 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 up. Like the raid.
Yeah.
To get to them at the top of the building.
Mm,
and then they have to go back down again or something. But, you know, like the cyber... Where did... They had a cyber conversion chamber and it was like, so you're converting people, but... Like, well, I don't understand why they were in this story. I don't understand why the Daleks were in this story.
No.
It was just too many elements, I think. And it all just conspired to bring the whole thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of things, I know we're supposed to be talking about the things we liked.
We've done that. It was the Dalek voice. We've already said.
But staying on the line of things we didn't understand, the Master's plan.
Yes.
The Master's Dalek plan.
The Master.
That was a good line. Come on,
no,
Johnny.
It was not good. It was appalling. I'm sorry.
See, I didn't mind the Master's Dalek
plan. No, I didn't like it.
I thought that was a fun wink to...
There were lots of little winks, weren't there? Throughout,
yeah.
But I just didn't like that one.
I've dressed for the occasion.
Yeah.
You know, there was a... Obviously, you mentioned the... I'm the Master and you will obey me.
Tegan.
Yeah, yeah.
Auntie Vanessa.
Auntie Vanessa. With the...
Well, before we get onto the Master's plan then, let's talk about Tegan and Ace as a positive. Because I really enjoyed the inclusion of Tegan and Ace. That initial scene, that phone call conversation, probably some of the worst
that was not good.
Dialogue
ever
committed to screen.
Well, it's that I haven't seen him for decades. 38 years, but it's like, you're old, we get it.
I'm in Romania, you know, where those Scientologists all went missing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? I'm at the museum, you know, where all those paintings went missing.
And it's like, well, the Romania thing never comes up again.
No.
All the seismologists are having a meeting in Naples. Why why was the seismologist
because otherwise, a seismologist would have gone, Oh, that's a bit weird. There's a lot of lava flow changing at the moment. We better go and have a look at that. Oh shit, Daleks.
Okay, so but there's nobody else monitoring that laptop.
Apparently not.
The earthquake monitor.
Oh, hello. Has anyone spoken to Dr. Smith about this? Oh no, he's on holiday. Oh right. Okay. Well, just leave it there.
Never mind. Yeah,
I'm sure it's fine. It'll just look after itself. I mean. Ace and Tegan, they were great to revisit. I think Ace in particular, she really sort of felt like she hadn't been away from the show.
Yeah.
Yes, and you had that kind of, I mean, we'll get on to the kind of the big Ace scene.
Yeah.
When she's talking to a certain person, she shows that kind of childlike, you know, when she's kind of talking into her chest kind of thing.
And then when
she says, "Last time I saw you, you were a cat." She has that kind of venom thing, that kind of teenage anger thing.
Mm.
Sophie was brilliant.
Mm. She was excellent.
And I thought Janet was good as well. Yeah. And it was great to have her back and nice that she got a little bit of kind of, you know, she got to speak to her doctor and do the whole I missed you thing and all that. I mean, she still seemed like quite a moan at the end of it. It's like, yes, I will come on board the TARDIS.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but I think that was good
fun. Same old Tegan.
Yeah,
but,
and that's what you wanted, don't you? You want that from Tegan.
Of course.
Much in the same way as you wanted Ace bashing Daleks.
That's
with
the character.
Nine, isn't it? Yeah. That's the character. And, you know, flying out of bloody parachutes and stuff. Yeah, it was all good fun. I just think the criticism I have there is that there wasn't really enough of them.
Mm.
I think there was enough.
Do you
of
think?
Them.
I think yeah. I could have happily seen more. I think my criticism would be
they did very little with Jodie.
Well,
that's my criticism.
And this is the problem, isn't it?
They have that one scene.
That one scene.
And then that's
Jodie
sort of
is
it.
Very cold.
Well, she's feeling awkward because, and I mean...
And I also...
I mean, there's so many things we're going to need to get into, but the Yaz and Dr. Dynamic. Yeah,
very interesting.
It's very obvious that whole scene with the four of them was played as you're meeting my exes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, we're still pulling on this Thasmin thread then.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about
where that thread
led.
I just when you compare it to, I mean, we're always going to put something like School Reunion on a pedestal because it does that so incredibly well.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of feel like you just wanted a little bit more of that, like of just a couple of seconds, just a minute or two of the Doctor and Tegan just,
a quiet word in the corner.
Yeah. I mean,
She gets it
with Peter, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that was
but it's different.
Yeah,
but you kind of want the Doctor as
the
they are now.
Doctor,
And there was the weird line, because we watched this little bit this morning, where Tegan's like, oh, you didn't tell me that she was young.
Yes,
like,
very odd thing to say.
What would that matter? Yeah. Your Doctor was Peter Davison.
Yeah,
so.
exactly.
He was young.
He was younger than Jodie.
Yeah.
I guess it was more to kind of be like, it shouldn't be surprising to them that the Doctor's a woman, you know? Like, it's not a big deal.
Mm.
Like, she's more concerned about that. But
right.
It's a weird thing to be...
It's a very odd
...to pick
thing.
Up
yeah.
on, you know? Like, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. Other positives?
Other positives.
The Doctor's coming back.
Shall we go on to the old Doctors?
Yeah.
Or?
The Guardians of the Edge.
The Guardians of the Edge.
You call them that if you want to, but we'll call them the classic Doctors.
What did you think of that setup? Like, all the Doctors go to this barren wasteland. I quite like the telephone cable.
Oh,
thing,
yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, telecommunications, television. Maybe an allusion to that.
I did look at it and think, why?
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's what they were going for.
I was thinking it was like
not.
Synapses, maybe. You know,
well,
like,
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
That's probably more like it.
Or different threads.
Threads of your
personality.
Yeah.
Place, maybe. Right. I don't know.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a concept that I believe existed in the New Adventures anyway.
Oh,
I
right.
think Paul Cornell... originated this idea that inside the Doctor's head, all of the personalities are still there in some form or other.
I
liked it. I mean, it didn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a very clever way of getting the Doctors back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously we haven't really had much from the old Doctors in the new series. So to finally see them and for them to not really, I mean, they didn't really make any reference to the fact that they look different. Or at least Jodie didn't. You know,
no.
She was just like...
Personally, I think they should have left Sylv in that black gown. But we'll come on
we'll
to that
come
more
on
later.
To that later. Right. Yes, there'll be a whole segment, guys, later devoted to...
There's a whole episode for that.
But otherwise, I thought they did a very nice job. Mm. I thought it made a lot of sense putting him in those robes.
Yeah, it did.
Rather
it
than
good.
Squeeze them
and
in.
I liked, the kind of roundily kind of thing they had going on with their collars.
At first I thought...
like Marco Polo.
William Hartnell was in... William Hartnell. David Bradley was in Marco Polo outfit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, it was great. What about you?
I liked the kind of... I liked the bickering with, of course, there's one that... Doesn't turn up.
That
was lovely. Yeah. And, you know, Paul is, he looks great.
He does, doesn't he?
He's fishing for that miniseries. Yeah. I mean, my God.
I think that's probably why
he's kept the outfit.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
I'm not putting any robes on.
No.
I've still got the costume.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if they see me in it, they might give me a job.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. And it was a proper, like when he saw David Bradley, I thought, I mean, if it's just going to be him and Jodie having this conversation.
Yeah, that would be slightly disappointing.
And then Colin appears.
Yeah.
And I just go, oh my days. I'm disappointed that we didn't get... I mean, there was no way in because there weren't any companions in
Colin,
the main story for Colin to come back. But I'm disappointed he didn't really get his little moment on screen.
Yeah.
Maybe he could have visited Kate Stewart or something.
Yeah, anything, you know. Yeah. That would have been neat, but...
Bonnie Langford at the end.
Bonnie, good.
Bonnie was in there.
Yeah.
It's all your fault. If you hadn't got on that bloody exercise bike, I would still be here.
Yeah. I thought that whole thing was great. And, you know, obviously another contrivance having the spark and the implant thing,
which
is another kind of like, oh, fine, whatever. But if it's a means to an end where you get the scene with Tegan and you get the scene with Ace,
you can,
then it's fine.
You can see past that, can't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought what a really nice touch in those kind of like conversations they were having was for a split second in each one, the hologram effect completely disappeared. And they had no effect on their voice.
It's on the emotional beat conversation.
I thought that's a really nice touch. And it happened once or twice when Jodie was talking to Yaz in the TARDIS when she first appeared.
Did it?
But only very fleetingly.
Yeah.
And I liked the kind of, oh, the emotional inhibitors are telling me that you're angry with me.
That
line was nice and... this thing worked. I'm dead. Oh, I mean, that's not great. And that stuff I thought was good. I mean, having the Doctor's back, it's almost like what everybody wanted or expected from the 50th. If they were going to do classic Doctors coming back, this is how they were going to do it.
Exactly. And I mean, it was always our big complaint about the 50th is that, you know, there could have been a way to do it. And I think Chris Chibnall probably did it the best way you're probably ever going to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So if that's the only takeaway I have from his era is that, well, at least he did...
He got them back and he did it well.
In a great way,
I read today that they did ask Tom Baker, but Tom declined.
Yes, he wasn't available.
I mean, whether that's because of frailty or... I'm not doing it if there's any other doctors.
No.
And how much are you paying?
Yeah, 5,000 quid.
And obviously, no Matt Smith and no
current,
no Chris, you know, so that was that. Shall we talk about another Doctor who was very poorly served in this story, who we thought, I mean, she's obviously going to turn up.
The fugitive Doctor. Yeah. Wow, yes.
And the Doctor is in the glass cabinet and she clocks the fugitive Doctor and doesn't go, can we finally have this conversation where you fit into this?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she doesn't. And then I was thinking, well, does that mean that, And it goes for the Yaz thing as well. It was all resolved in previous stories that she kind of went, you know, it doesn't matter where I'm from or if I don't know my past. All that matters is that me now and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, fine. But for the audience at home, for the fans, we're, you know, it would be useful to just kind of have an inkling to know where this all fits in.
Because
you've expanded this so much. It was clearly a bit of a mission statement for him to include the Timeless Children, and you know, he even mentioned himself it was sort of an allegory to himself being adopted Chris Chibnall and not knowing where he's from and you know, his background and stuff. If you're going to add that kind of lore to the show, I don't want to sound like an arsehole, but there's almost a kind of duty with a show like this that
you want to
tell us a little bit more about
and
the ins and outs of it.
And I think especially when you then leave the last series on sort of a cliffhanger of like,
yes.
I'm gonna leave the TARDIS to look after this Fob Watch.
Yeah, the watch,
but
yeah.
But don't give it to me unless I ask you to.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Oh no, actually no, just don't.
She's never gonna ask for it ever again. No. The TARDIS is gonna go, look, I've had this for ages. Do you want me to file it away or just get rid of it?
I want a scene when either David or Shooty are redecorating the TARDIS and they pull it out, what's this old thing? Ah, and just chuck it. Yeah. Right, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was ridiculous. It was a shame. I mean, it was a nice surprise when she turned up, Joe Martin.
Yeah, not
but
enough and not explained not enough.
But that's
yeah.
been her problem the whole time, is that she's fleeting.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm, you know, okay, she's going to have her Big Finish box sets and Sacha Dhawan's going to have his Big Finish box sets, but it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing, no.
It would have just been nice to get a few more certainties about what that all means, you know, but... Ah, well. Other positives.
Positives.
Graham. I thought his intro was quite sweet. Him and Ace.
Do you?
That was a nice scene. But
how he got there? I mean, that was weird. I mean, he just suddenly turns up.
I know.
I know.
What else have I got? Okay, well, should we talk about the Master Doctor?
Oh, God. That was so weird. This is what I was saying earlier. Like,
why?
What is his plan?
Yeah.
Well, again, there was a nice little bit that was kind of set up and an idea that they had, which he says, I'm going to besmirch the name of the Doctor.
Right,
and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make the name of the Doctor mean, you know, it's going to spread fear and horror and terror across the universe.
Right. But, that's what he wanted to do, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
No, okay.
There was a little line in there about it.
I missed that one.
But
right,
then
I see.
He doesn't. I think he has a conversation with Kate Stewart on like a video call or something, and he's dressed in all the multiple Doctor's outfits.
He's too busy dressing up.
Yeah, and he says something like that. He doesn't go anywhere.
He goes to that planet, doesn't he? He sees those two warring planets.
Oh yeah, and that robot then comes along, that drone, and he says,
But my issue is this whole, I'm going to forcibly regenerate you into me, and all this stuff. Why the hell did he not just fucking do her in? If he wants to dress up like Doctor Who, dress up like Doctor Who, steal the TARDIS and just be like, yes, I'm the Doctor.
Me.
Yeah.
Could he not have said, like, oh, look, I've come to the end of my cycle again?
Yeah.
That would have been enough.
That wasn't even mentioned. So we had no idea.
It just seems so pointless. It's like, why are you going to all this trouble?
Yeah.
But, again, it's sort of like, it was all about the kind of the flair and the kind of, whoa, I can't believe they've gone there and done that.
Mm.
But it was all for kind of what?
Like there was, well, that's it.
There wasn't enough of a motivation. Exactly. There wasn't enough of a motivation for it to mean anything when it happened.
Yeah. Mm.
So it kind of fell a bit flat in that way.
It just felt like an excuse to have the Master dress up as Doctor Who.
Yeah.
With Tom Baker scarves with completely the wrong colours.
Well, I mean,
Orange on the Tom Baker scarf, I don't think so.
And the jumper as well, obviously.
And that Lavazzi pullover.
The Lavazzi pullover.
Poor, we haven't got to that yet.
We're on the costume. Should we just get into it, Johnny? Should we just get out of the way? Should we talk very briefly about the one that the Master was wearing? What was that? What was your...
That jumper.
On that one.
Well, wrong. So you know,
was
wrong.
The Lavazzi one.
So, but I mean, I wasn't too bothered about him because I mean, he's just a nutter, isn't he? But I mean,
let's talk about the main event then.
Yeah,
let's go to the main event.
Do you want to talk about Peter first?
Let's talk about Peter. Yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
Because you see Peter first, don't you?
Yes. Okay. Fine. I liked the "You look different to how the last time I saw you" line. Is well, you can talk sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
that
good.
Was that was
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's just a kind of a wink and a nudge, like we know.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's just move past that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just
yeah,
focus
exactly.
on what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
was enough.
Yeah. I thought that scene was brilliant. Yeah. I think that was probably one of my favourite scenes of the whole thing.
It was good
because it was just.
It was nicely written.
It
was poignant.
Very well performed.
With the Adric line was nice. You know?
Yeah,
I liked that.
Yeah.
And he looked good. I thought his costume was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, watching it back this afternoon when we had a little flick through, I thought, oh, I'd have just much sooner have just had a story with this lot back.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We did say that.
It would have been much better.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right, come on, Johnny. Let's talk about the Sylve scene.
Ah, right then. So,
roll up your sleeves. Roll up your sleeves.
Yeah. Well, it was disappointing, shall we say?
Okay.
All of it.
Yeah. From the hat down to his tippy-toes.
Well, obviously, we couldn't see him very well. See, with Peter, you saw more of the costume.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you couldn't see that with Sylve, but it was all wrong. Everything was wrong. He did have the chain.
Yeah.
I noticed that, and that was good. But the scarf was one of the Lavazzi ones. The jacket wasn't right. The hat wasn't right. He's got his own proper hat. I thought he might have brought his own.
With him.
But he didn't, so that was such a shame. The jumper obviously was wrong, and the fact that he tucked it into his trousers like Timon the Rani, what was that about? Ace would have said, well, you're an imposter, you never looked at that when I saw you.
Yeah. Who is this? Everything else is fine.
But that was the big thing.
And the tie was wrong.
He should have had the red braces, really, if he had the trousers tucked
in. Yeah.
Anyway, it was a shame. I mean, he was good. I liked it. The scene was good. I liked, you know.
I think he got both of their doctors really well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't let off explosives without fair warning.
Mm.
There is that element of he would do that.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, all the Braveheart, or should I say Braveheart? You know, all that stuff. Trying to do a smoker's voice. All that stuff was lovely, and I thought he wrote them really well. But definitely the Ace and Seven scene was the nicest of them, I thought.
Oh, did you think so? Oh, I still think Peter's was. I mean, I liked the
it had more emotional weight. I thought because we don't know what happened to Ace and Seventh Doctor off screen.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
And
you know, the fact that they had a falling out.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what would have led to that?
This story decanonized all of Big Finish for Seventh Doctor's stories.
Did it?
Well, yeah, because she said last time I saw you, you were part cat. And she's met the master since then.
Right.
Yeah. So cock that up.
Mm. Oh, I mean, it's all cocked up.
Mm. Yeah.
All the
tiny
rhymey
to cook that up. Oh,
and her book. Sophie's book.
Oh, yeah.
Childhood's End.
Childhood Ends, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, well. You know,
do you think they had that conversation? Yeah, so thank you for coming in, Sophie. Now, if you agree to do this, it does mean that your book is now null and void.
Yes.
How much are you paying me? Yeah, no worries. No problem at all. I thought they were both fabulous scenes. Both
I did like
really
that bit,
nice.
That line about, you know, when a child leaves home, you know, you like to see them fly.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
Because it is that whole, you know, he took her under his wing.
Yeah, he did.
Was trying to make her a better person.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I thought it was really, really sweet.
Mm. Yeah, very good.
Just a shame about the costume.
Because
it was really ballsed up, but never mind.
really ballsed up.
I've just scrolled down to the cons bit here. I think we've covered a lot of this stuff.
We have. I mean, we have moaned. Why was Vinder in this story?
Yes.
What was his point?
Because John Barrowman wasn't allowed. I mean, so he says that he's looking for the Quarynx or whatever it's called.
Did he?
There's a really quick line of dialogue in the ship
as
he's landing.
That's right. Yeah.
And he says that. I mean, it's a contrivance that he's turned up.
Yeah.
It's another pair of hands to help out.
Mm.
But also, I think because I like the freelancer line he had when he shot the master.
Yes, that
and
was
it's
interesting.
Like,
yeah.
That's a nice way of sort of sorting that out without anybody like Yaz, who was given a gun.
I mean, that was weird. That whole sequence
of all the doctors to say carry a gun and point it at somebody.
Yeah,
not her.
No.
Why? Because it's like Chekhov's gun. Nothing happened to it.
Yeah.
You can't just. Where did the gun go? And you think, okay, the master's in a situation. She's really emotionally unstable. She's upset. You know, I'm in trouble. I could hypnotise her to do something with this.
Yeah.
But nothing happens with it.
It should have been something like she had the gun then came back later on and maybe that was the gun and it killed the doctor.
That was what I thought. Because it's mentioned in the trailer.
And it would have been like, oh shit, you know, I crossed a line that I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And now look where it's got
me.
At the end of my contract and up the duff.
The gun's in the trailer. You know, it's quite prominently in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're alluding to this thing happening and it doesn't.
So why did she do that? Was it just because she thought he's got more of a chance to escape UNIT if she leaves them with UNIT?
I mean, that whole thing, why he even bothered to get caught by UNIT in the first place was like Sylva in Skyfall, where he like purposefully gets caught and put into MI6 to break out again.
Mm.
And then he's going like plan, great plan, all about the details. Mm. What? You're not explaining any of them. No, you can't just say it.
It's not a great plan.
No, it's terrible.
So he comes out and he smashes the thing, and there happens to be a trans map that was left in that little glass thing.
Yeah.
And so at least if you're going to leave these things here, do something to explain how they got there in the first place.
Mm. And I thought all that was weird about, leaving the figure of the Cyberman figure, the Russian doll.
Why
suddenly you keep it with you? If you knew she was going to keep it with her, why you make it a Cyberman? If it didn't matter, if it was just...
Why not a bomb?
Yeah.
Just a bomb that went off in her bag.
Yeah.
That was disguised as something else, like a little TARDIS or something.
I do like the fact that tissue compression eliminator can be in reverse as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if it can do one, it can kind of do the other, but...
Well, it hasn't done that since the beginning of, so I'm afraid, no, it can't.
The Russian doll thing was like, is that just an excuse for him to be Rasputin and have
that seems to be the case, I think.
But then, why not, why? It's like a crap Genesis arc, all these Cybermen stomping out of this little... Why?
And why did it look shit?
Why didn't it look like a shard?
It just looked like some weird papier-mâché thing.
It looked like a really low-res, low-polygon PlayStation 1 render of a shard.
I was so confused when it broke open and then a shard
walked out of himself.
What is happening?
I'm getting to the end of my cons list, I think, actually. That's not too bad. Why was she put into a Dalek? Yeah, all of that.
It was sad, but Ace and Tegan don't get a proper goodbye.
That I thought was appalling. I hated that.
They went while we were asleep. Yeah. Suddenly,
Yaz is some expert flying the TARDIS. What, she's got a few post-it notes dotted around the place. Sorry, that's nonsense.
I will say, I think series 12 kind of answers that, because you know she's left on Earth with the fugitive Doctor's TARDIS for ages.
She's trying to work out how to fly it, isn't she?
She's trying to figure out how to fly that model of TARDIS. It's a different model of TARDIS, but at least... they've kind of planted the seeds.
Speaking of models of TARDIS, Master's TARDIS, what do we think about that, the Type 75?
I liked the rotor thing.
The square thing,
floating around. Having the Quarynx thing, and then also the TARDIS is buried into the core of the planet.
Yeah.
It's like, have one or the other. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, why have you got both?
Yeah. Like, surely it doesn't matter if you've got that thing powering it.
And all this stuff about... But was the whole thing just to power this bloody regeneration thing?
Yeah.
Were they looms?
Oh, let's not even get into that.
They might as well have been.
I think the idea was that they had generated... That was their generating power to then generate enough power to switch on the cubicles that they were in. That was what I got from it. But I don't know if that's actually...
Why have UNIT got in... contact with the Galactic Empire for as well.
Yeah, their logo's got the Death Star
on it. It's a bit weird, yeah.
Although, God. I did notice that Kate Stewart has a proper old UNIT badge her lapel.
Oh, yes, that's
good. She's got a proper 70s UNIT badge. Done.
It's just about the only interesting thing Kate Stewart, unfortunately. She's a Stewart, but she's like bloody, you know, like bubbling.
Yeah.
Blubbering when she just gets taken downstairs to the conversion chamber, and she's in there for bloody ages.
Mm. Wait, why does it take so long?
Yeah, because she, like, imagine if she'd walked out and she was totally normal, but she gets that handle up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
She just has that for life now.
So I agree with Matt. I think the fact that Tegan and Ace didn't get a proper goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know. I didn't like that.
But it happened with John Barrowman as well. It happened with Captain Jack. Oh, yeah, he didn't get a proper goodbye.
His line was Lady Arden saying, oh, I've got to run back to Torchwood because Gwen and blah, blah, blah are doing something. And yeah.
I don't know.
Uh-oh. Right, the other thing.
Elephant in the room.
Mm. Do you want to talk? Which one is it?
Jodie Whittaker didn't have anything to do in her own finale.
Well, there's that as well.
Is there something else that we need to...
Phasmin.
Oh, ah, Phasmin, yeah.
Come on, man.
Phasmin.
Right, and the fact that, again, even in this episode, there's the bit where they put each other's hands against each other's hands in the glass thing.
So they do that, that's
very
right.
Very Star Trek.
So you're going to do something, right? Because this is within the same episode where... she turns to her and says, what I said on that beach, by the way, I fucking meant it. Mm. I don't love you. We're not doing this. It's like, so that scene on the beach was literally the Doctor saying, no,
Yeah.
There was no even slight attempt at trying to open that out.
No. I thought she was at least going to give her a little kiss.
Yeah, I thought
on the roof of the TARDIS.
Or when
Mind you, I hated that.
Did you not like that?
Well, not that. I just hate the fact that she dies and she's regenerating, but I can hold it back to have a cornetto with you on the TARDIS. I'm sorry. No, Peter Davison, when he was regenerating, he held it back to try and save Perry.
Yeah.
And that was so good. It's just bollocks.
But that's not as bad. It's not as bad as the lap of honour that Tennant did.
Yeah,
I hated that as well.
Yeah.
But I do hate this, that you can just stay... Oh.
I mean, if I was dying, I would try and hold back my regeneration to have an ice cream.
At least go to Italy.
I'd smooch with Mandip Gill. I mean, I was disappointed that it didn't get consummated. Is that the right word? But you know what I mean.
Bloody hell, it's a kid's friend.
Because you think, bloody hell, like, it's clearly a thread they've been pulling on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get to the end of it, and they kind of chicken out.
Yeah.
Like, nothing.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was really disappointing, I thought.
And the way that she left, like, oh, I need to do this on my own.
Yeah. Yaz is there going, like, read the room, Doctor. Okay. She's really gutted. And then she's saying, right, fuck off. I'm going to go and look at this sunset on my own.
Yeah. And it's like, why isn't Yaz like, well... I'm quite happy to stay.
To carry on. Yeah.
There was no real reason for her to
It was leave. Odd. Yeah.
And then she leaves Earth to go to this self-help group.
Yeah.
And there's AA. That bit where... Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's the bit where Tegan leans to her and says, are you okay?
Mm.
And she's going to say something. And then Ace says, is she okay? And it's like, no, is Yaz okay?
Okay? Yeah.
Is she okay?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she doesn't look all right.
No.
You know, like, the Doctor knows... She's had, like, mental health problems, and she knows she's in love with her, and she's just rejected her.
Mm.
You've just left her on her own. Mm. You know, okay, she's surrounded by friends, but she's still abandoned her in this quite, you know, fragile situation.
And she went above and beyond to save her life.
She did. Mm-hmm.
This was her best story for Yaz.
Yeah.
You know, and she acted her socks off in
she
this
did,
story.
Yeah.
Brilliant, yeah.
Particularly in that scene when the Doctor realises, oh shit, I'm regenerating for the second time in this story.
Yeah.
You know, and she starts going and she's really crying.
Yeah.
It was, I was like, wow.
Jodie sheds a tear in that bit as well.
Oh, did she?
Just a very little one.
Which bit, sorry?
When she holds her arm and it's regenerating. There's a little tear from Jodie, and then she's obviously welling up when she says...
That was the heat, the lights in the studio.
Yeah, clearly. And then they have that little bit where she says, I can't remember what the line was, but a good friend once said to me, we're only sad about goodbyes because the bit before was so special or something. And there was a bit of like a Troughton-y, you know, we're the only people.
It was like Troughton.
Yeah.
And that was sweet.
That was good, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if it's that Chris thought it was too much to have the Doctor... A lady doctor smooch a lady. I don't know why they wouldn't have done it. Because they would have done it with any other
doctor.
Yeah, they would have done it.
Yeah. But it just didn't happen here. And I thought that was...
Tennant would have had his tongue down her throat more times than...
It would have happened in the first story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, I was just trying to get a DNA reading off you.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, yeah. I mean, do we have anything else to say about the story? I've got some remarks from the fans.
We should probably talk about the companions.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who companions.
Do you think it was a nice sort of collection? Like, of the people that they got?
That they could have.
Do you think there were any glaring omissions?
Most of them are dead, so they couldn't get many.
That's tricky. Yeah. And of the ones who are from different time periods, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, no Jamie, no Zoe.
Don't understand why... Bonnie Langford was there because Mel was left in the far future with
Savalon Green. So that one went Pete Tong.
So there's obviously going to be a big Finnish adventure where that gets explained.
Obviously.
Inevitably, we should say. I mean,
Ian
was obviously fantastic seeing him.
Yeah,
because
really
I mean, we've been saying for years, Ian should have been in this story, or he should have been in that story, and now finally he's come back.
Yeah,
That was good.
For this nice little line of...
A nice collection of them.
Katie Manning, you could hear...
Laughing.
It's so funny.
It was great.
It was good. It was a lovely little scene, I think.
And I like Dan being there just to kind of say, hey, I'm kind of new to this.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't travel with her for that long.
No.
But still left a good enough impression on me. And the line he uses when he drops her off saying... you know, I've got to go out and attack life now, and you've taught me that. I thought that was a nice bit. Like, he's picked something up, and I mean, he hasn't got a house to go back
to.
He hasn't,
he's
going to have to be sleeping on his parents' sofa for the foreseeable future, but there we go.
Poor Blake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went a bit tits up, didn't it, really?
Yeah. It did.
By the way, has anyone got anywhere I can live? Ian, you look loaded, mate. Come on. You've got that nice big house.
Yeah. No Babs, obviously. No reference to...
No reference to Babs.
No.
And the
it was nice that you got a line in, though.
It was nice you got a line
in. Yeah, I'm glad about that.
Did you say she?
She?
Yeah. that was good. I like that.
And the empty chair, or the chair that looked empty, that actually had a laptop on it.
Yeah. Annika Wills
was
supposed to be
sat there.
Was
she?
Apparently so. Apparently she pulled out at the last minute because of whatever reason.
And so they just... Okay, somebody's zooming in.
Yeah.
Mark Strickson zooming in from New Zealand. Yeah.
I think K9 should have been there. Yeah. He's still in the UK.
I know. Propped up on a little stool.
Yeah, they should have done that.
With a single little bit of oil leaking out from his eye. That would have been cute.
She literally, the doctor master literally replaced me with myself. I think comedians
talk about trauma.
Back.
Oh my, no, let's not do that. We've got the regeneration coming up, but I think that kind of ties into what's going to come. So do you want to
have a, before we talk about that, the big finale.
The big bit, do you want to hear about what people had to
say? Let's see what people had to say.
Oh, I think we've got a pretty broad church of people who watch our stuff.
God, not that as well.
No, let's not talk about that. Of people who watch the stuff we do. So I was expecting, you know, a fair amount of different opinions.
Yeah.
It may be just that it's very fresh in people's minds.
Yeah.
But see what you think about this. Christopher Clark, a solid 7.5 out of 10.
What?
Big highs, ace and seven, six, seven and eight, bickering, lol. Seeing Ian did bring a tear, although I thought the regen was beautifully done. It seemed a happy one this time, and finally the Doctor has learnt not to put the TARDIS in flight during regeneration. Sasha was awesome. Space Panda, loved it. Best regeneration story since Parting of the Ways, not including Night as a minisode. Johnny's hair standing on end.
Yeah,
and delivered in ways I wasn't expecting. Story leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, we're all kind of in agreement with that one. But the moments more than made up for it. Fan service was on point. If only the 50th had been this good. Bradley Edward Charles, a mess narratively and structurally, but hit all of the right marks emotionally. I think, would we all agree with that statement? Is that a fair approximation?
Well, that it hit the emotional...
A mess narratively and structurally, but hit all the right marks emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's quite fair enough.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Apart from Phasmin.
Apart from Phasmin, yeah.
Apart from the kind of, the thing you've been building.
Yes.
It is definitely not the strongest regeneration story, but far from the worst, 6 out of 10. Keith says the first 45 minutes were painful, and the last 45, I was crying a lot, reminded me of exams. So 4 out of 10. Bunny Glore, great roller coaster of a ride, very Dimensions in Time. Is that?
Really?
What would you say, Johnny? Better or worse than Dimensions?
I'd rather Dimension in Time.
Yeah, John Pertwee's in that.
Yeah, and John, Tom. John and Tom, don't forget.
Saskia.
And Kate Amara. And Sil's in a good costume.
The scarf.
But
at least he knew not to tuck his trousers in.
He knew what he was doing there.
He knew what he was doing. Saskia says the Adric catharsis, 40 years late, I ascended. Frazzles, it was a mixed bag. It did a fair few things right, but it didn't feel like a send off to Jodie.
Yeah.
Just an episode she happened to regenerate in.
Mm.
Outside of the regeneration, she didn't get a major explosive moment to herself, which I think is true.
Mm.
And finally, Ben O'Neill, it's flawed, really, really flawed, but I'd be lying if I said those flaws meant anything compared to the moments that had me smiling.
Interesting. Nice way of putting it.
You know, I think that's a nice way of putting it.
Mm.
So, the regen.
Yeah. Mm.
What do we think of her speech?
Do you mean when she walks out and says that ridiculous line about...
Tagger it.
Not that bit, the bit about the blossomiest blossom. That was appalling.
I didn't quite get where that came from.
That's obviously meant to be like the daisiest daisy line that John Pertwee says.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I think so.
Really? I didn't like it. Tag your it. I didn't like that. Matt did like that.
I thought I liked
it. It was very in character.
It was very in character.
Yeah, to be fair, it is in character. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I mean, the whole thing felt like such a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
After, well, first of all, the setting, you know.
Which is where Chris Fenwick is filmed.
Is it?
Yeah, the finale.
Yeah. Although, actually, they weren't there. It was all done on green screen.
Yes. I you could see David Tennant was on a... was not there they'd shot the Jodie bits.
Yeah. No, she wasn't there either. That was all green screen.
That was all green screen.
Yeah. They just
There's something about the David bit that looked really off compared to Jodie's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it looked... Maybe it was just the angle they shot it from with that crane shot or something.
Yeah. So I liked the different setting, that it wasn't in the TARDIS, that it wasn't them. Oh, she's blown up the TARDIS. Yeah. Annoying, really, because this is the one TARDIS that actually deserved to get blown up because it was so ugly and awful.
Although I do wish they'd actually regenerate lying down for a change.
Yeah.
I hate this standing up constantly. Come on.
I love it. I don't love it. I just love Johnny's reaction.
And just backtracking slightly, I also liked that whole sequence in the TARDIS with her and Yaz, that it was reversed. It was like a reversal of Parting of the Ways where the Doctor got up confused.
Oh, what's going on?
Yeah. And, you know, it was that was sweet. Mm. But I liked the setting. I loved the fact that it wasn't some big, oh, woe is me, I'm going to die. Yeah. But, you know,
Doctor, I let you go.
Yeah, and, you know, she wasn't there for an hour saying...
Eulogising.
Yeah.
Oh, don't eat pears, don't do this. Yeah. You know...
Just get on with it.
She just got on with it. And it was nice. It was very optimistic. It was like, oh, this has been fun.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm looking forward to whoever comes next.
I wasn't fond of the tag you're it line on first broadcast, but afterwards thinking it's totally in line with her.
Yeah.
Because I always think of it, I was saying to Stella last night, that it's difficult to view regenerations and big moments in the show like that without lining up all the other quotes and thinking of looking at it one by one after the other.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, you know, the eulogising from Peter was too much, but Doctor, I let you go is quite a nice line. And I will always remember when the Doctor was me.
I love Max's quite line. A nice That's line. That's a sweet line.
And Tag You're It next to all of that is an outlier.
Yeah.
Even compared to, you know, David and Chris.
Yeah. I mean, I'd sooner have Tag You're It than I don't want to go.
I agree.
I don't want to go, but I'm going to come back in a few years' time. Don't worry. Just
no worry. But now, thinking about it over the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
I am much more fond of that line than I was when I first heard it. So yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm a fan. The regeneration itself and what came afterwards with the Doctor regenerating their outfit as well for the first time since Power of the Daleks.
Yeah. That's the Celestial Toymaker doing all that though, isn't it?
Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah.
Is that what we think is going to be?
I think so. I think the thread to the whole thing.
And it ended with a what?
Yes, as we thought it would.
He's wearing a waistcoat.
That's really cool, isn't it?
I didn't expect that at all.
No.
But looks quite cool.
He looks good. I think I prefer him in this costume more than I did
as the normal one. It's more eccentric.
Yeah.
It's more Doctor Who-y. You know, like, why is his waistcoat buttoned up like that? Why is this tie hanging like that? Doesn't make any sense. But it's a Doctor Who outfit, so it kind of looks great.
I can't wait to find out the reasoning behind
I know.
All of this stuff. Like, oh, why don't they just stick him back in his old costume? And,
Exactly.
He is the 14th Doctor.
Yes.
That was very interesting.
Well, yeah. 14th.
Did you read the press release?
We did, yes.
I'm going to read it for people at home if they didn't catch it. As Jodie Whittaker's 13th Doctor regenerated on Sunday the 23rd of October, it was none other than David Tennant who appeared as the 14th Doctor. But what led to the return of a much-loved face? With David Tennant and Catherine Tate reprising their roles for the 60th anniversary, it's been confirmed they will appear in three special episodes set to air in November 2023. A whole year with no Doctor Who. The next Doctor, played by Shuti Kamla, will then take control of the TARDIS with his first episode airing over the festive period in 2023. Do we think that's a one-off special or episode one of his series?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just the special before the series in the new year.
I mean, if he's shooting...
Because if he's got three in November, and then that seems like overkill.
Do you think?
I think so. I think three in November, Christmas one, wait then for the next season in 6 months' time, 8 months' time. Maybe,
I kind of feel like if he's shooting in November this year, if he starts shooting in November then will it not be ready to go for an episode one of a series around the festive time?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, didn't one of them, Jodie season's episode one, Spyfall Part 1 was New Year's Day.
They could do that again.
Talking about the future, Russell T. Davis says, if you thought the appearance of David Tennant was a shock, we've got plenty more surprises on the way. The path to Shuti Gatwa's
15th Doctor is laden with mystery, horror, robots, puppets, danger and fun. How is it connected to the return of the wonderful Donna Noble? How, what, why? We're giving you a year to speculate and then all hell lets loose. Three special episodes will transmit in November 2023 as Doctor Who celebrates its 60th anniversary. So, woo! Doctor number 14 and then 15.
Yeah.
And of course, we got a trailer.
Yes. Mm.
Were you expecting a trailer?
No.
No.
Were you expecting Shooty at the end of the episode rather than David?
No, I was expecting David. Yeah. I didn't think Shooty was going to... Yeah. I was more surprised to see Shooty in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Because I think is this not the first time since Christopher Eccleston we've seen an upcoming Doctor in a trailer rather than doing their first line.
Probably. Yeah, or like the actual trailer for their series or whatever. No, it's unprecedented. I thought, Shooty Gatwa. He looks great. His delivery was fab.
Got the stash.
He's got a stash. The Doctor's got a stash.
Our dad being reincarnated.
He'd be gutted that he missed out on Doctor Who having a moustache.
A moustachio Doctor.
Yeah.
He could have cosplayed as it was really exciting. And, you know, just to get those first few glimpses of what, because we've obviously seen them filming and...
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was like, oh, there's Bristol.
There's Bristol. There's my Barbara's.
We were there. We were watching
Franco
it.
Manca. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're behind that food truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome, and the thing that I thought was really cool, because we kind of knew, obviously we knew Donna was back,
yeah,
we knew David was back, we knew, you know, Shooty was going to somehow dovetail into this, but to see the studio stuff, spaceship sets and David rolling under that thing, and
I saw that Jared Groves on Twitter said, "Oh, the controls on that spaceship look very small, like very low down, almost as if." They're built for a little furry creature.
You never know. I mean, DWM may reveal all about that in November. We'll see.
Maybe it won't. I don't think they're going to reveal Beat the Meep yet.
No?
No, not yet. I think because it's so far away.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be like David Tennant on the front in the costume.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be a little bit of a...
David Tennant is the Doctor again.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I thought they should have put, and reintroducing David Tennant as the Doctor.
At the end. Yeah.
That would have been cool. That would have been cool.
That gobshite again. Smash.
So that was that. That's Jodie Whittaker's tenure as Doctor Who. Done, dusted, on the table.
And she was outshone by Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Paul McGann, Sylvester McCoy, and David Tennant. Oh, and Shooty Gatwa.
Yeah, disappointing.
Yeah.
You know?
And Aisin Tegan.
Yeah. I she should
For
have
the centenary...
Served.
Special.
The big special.
The big special.
She should have been
served very
better.
Disappointing.
It was gutting. For what she did, though, I thought she was great as always.
I said to Matt, I'm still not convinced by her overall. Mm. I have to say, I don't know. It's just not massively believable.
Okay. I think the trouble was so much of a dialogue in this story was exposition.
Yeah, it was exposition. This is the problem.
Book. Yeah, it's like, oh look, that child is having help in space.
Yes, that's right.
That child is actually a floating dust mite.
And then when she's talking to she has the same basically the same conversation with Mandip, where she talks about the implant.
Yeah,
and she does that. That's a explainy thing. And then she has exactly the same type of conversation with Tegan when she's trying to figure out how to blow up UNIT.
Yeah.
Mm. And then...
How did Tegan not die?
I don't know.
How did that explosion...
The rubble came down and she just stood there.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the least of the
problems. That is true. That is the least of
it. I did like the cyber arm coming out through the wall.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
And Ace destroying the Dalek, like Ace, he remembers the Daleks.
With the baseball bat.
And
the reference to the fuse isn't long enough, and Electro 9, all that kind of stuff.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Lovely to have her jacket, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
And the baseball bat, that was fantastic.
You knew she was going to have her superhero moment where she got her costume out.
Yeah, superb.
That was really nice.
Why did she bring it with her? She was like, oh, it's just Sasha's in here. Why? Why have you got that with you?
Yeah.
I could have done without the Beyonce line, you know.
Yeah.
But,
All
that aside, it was... a hot mess in the best and worst way possible.
Mm.
Is that a fair thing to say?
It was like someone had pooed on a plate and then sprinkled a bit of glitter on the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take that, that's fine. We'll have that
that's the tagline thing, yeah, yeah.
Very good. I love it. That's the one word, the review, yeah. The one line review. Yeah. From the review of death on Jodie's final story. We've still got a bit more of Jodie to unpack because we've got the poll coming up, so we'll be able to find out in bits. We'll find out what you all thought of her tenure in sort of general.
I am so glad, like having looked at Twitter in the last 24 hours, I'm so glad that you decided not put the Power of the Doctor on
the list.
Because everyone would be going, the Power of the Doctor is the best story. That was why,
because the recency bias would have been way too strong. Mm. And I don't think it should be at the top of those lists.
No.
But, you know, I had a fun time with the last sort of 45 minutes of it, but it was still watching it. I was like, it's all too much. It's too many plates spinning. Yeah. And you have no faith that any of it is going to get resolved meaningfully in a satisfying way. Yeah. Mm. And that's not a criticism necessarily just of Chris Chibnall. We've said that about tons of new series.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it had all the Chibnall hallmarks of sort of, too much loaded into
I think when we watched it, as soon as the first big caption of this whatever country, this location, it was kind of like, here we go.
Is this again?
Yeah. But when you saw the synopsis, it's like, how does the Tsar Nicholas II come into all of this? Yeah. Apparently that thing with the kid's illness is a reference to Queen Victoria and... Tooth and Claw.
It's
a really deep cut reference to that.
Yeah. I don't believe Chris Chibnall would even... I mean, obviously, the kid had haemophilia in real life.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's just a reference.
Just that, historical
Twitter
fact.
Likes to take that shit and run with it, doesn't it? there we go. There we go. That was that.
Yeah, well...
I'll be grading this.
What would you give it, Johnny?
3 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, Matt?
I think I probably would about the same.
Yeah.
It's hard because I enjoyed the bits with the old Doctors.
Yeah, that's the three. Mm. And Ace and Teague and then the companions. Yeah. That's the 3 out of 10 bit.
Okay. Yeah, and I like the end.
Yeah.
And I like the trailer.
Yeah.
And I like David Tennant. I mean, this is the thing. When David Tennant turned up, now everyone knows I don't like David Tennant as the Doctor. Generally. But... when he turned up, it was like,
right.
It felt like a warm hug. Mm. Sort of like, a safe pair of hands has returned. Mm.
Is that, that's not just David embracing you, that's also Russell, isn't it?
Exactly, it's that whole thing. But obviously David is the symbol of that era.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there were things that I didn't like about the 10th Doctor's era. Yeah. You know, we talked about Doctor's Daughter the other day, and, you know, we chat on that. But, you know... on the whole, it was a far more coherent, far more...
solid.
So, you know, you sort of knew what you got.
Yeah.
And, you know, right, for every...
the fundamentals were kind of
there.
Yeah,
but
At its core.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Good. What would you rate this out of 10 then, this story?
Yeah, probably 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. I'd go for like a 5.5 verging on a 6. But,
wow.
I mean, it's quite high, Billy.
Yeah, high. I know, but I'm kind of...
How many times have you watched this?
Twice.
Same as us. Well, we watched it one and a half. We skipped through a bit, didn't we, the second time?
Right.
We did the highlights.
The highlights, yeah.
I'm kind of gutted that I've given it that lower score. Not because of this story in particular.
No.
I'm just disappointed that
it has
the final episode was so jam-packed. And you know you want to make it an epic. You know you want to make it big. But it didn't serve the person that it was meant to serve, and that was Jodie Whittaker.
Mm.
I don't care if it's a centenary special.
Yeah.
You can bring all the old buggers back you like. But fundamentally, this is Jodie Whittaker's swan song, and she had moments which were really nice.
Yeah.
And the whole of the last sort of closing bit with her and Yaz and the conversations they had and her regeneration I thought were great. But on the whole, it just didn't feel like it was serving her well enough.
Imagine if J&T had sat down with Tom Baker and gone, so Tom, we're kind of thinking that we might bring back John Pertwee and Patrick Troughton for your final story. Fuck off! I'm not having those old bastards in this. I'm Tom Baker, I'm the Doctor, right?
Yeah, she was, the first female Doctor was overshadowed by all the old buggers, by all the old blokes coming back, but you know, that was
Peter Davison going, and you were doing so well.
Yeah, that's a great line, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Well, that was the power of the Doctor. Mm. Jodie Whittaker's
swan song.
What
was the power
song,
of the Doctor?
Yeah. Friendship.
Oh, no, don't give me that old shite.
But it was, wasn't it? I don't, you know, but that's kind of what it...
Fam.
Extended fam.
Oh, yeah, extended fam.
Yeah. Oh. Don't worry, John, it's all over now.
It's gone.
Yeah. It's gone, it's gone. So the next thing that you'll see from us will be the parting of the ways.
Yeah.
Which is a great regeneration story.
Yes.
So you can hear us gushing all over the place about that. And then obviously at some point in the future we'll be running down the Jodie Whittaker era in its entirety, minus Power of the Doctor, and we'll see what you guys thought of it, generally speaking.
Yeah.
There we go.
In that case, we'll see you next time for Christopher Eccleston Times. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.